Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome back to Whiskey Congress, part two of our episode. We got so deep into some of these topics that we didn't get some of the personal stuff. We're trying another beer from Dave from Philly.
Same night.
Same night.
So this may end bad.
It could. I can't see the names either. Okay, here we go. Sorry. St. Benjamin Fresh Draft Beer to Go. It is a Pilsner. It was freshly made. It was made on the 4th of May. I have not tasted it yet, so here we go. All right, really smooth Pilsner. I think you're going to like that a lot.
I do.
It reminds me a lot of like a Pilsner or Keller or Czech style Pilsner. And this is my beer nerd coming out in me. Just trust me on that. No, it's a great. Pilsners are lagers. They're more.
I know what a Pilsner.
Talking for the show. Yes.
What I will say is it does taste like a European Pilsner to me.
Right.
A little bit more flavor than your Miller or Bud what have you, but it's light. There's no fruit, there's no essence, there's no anything
there's
like
no
that.
There's no big hop punch, but it's just a nice, smooth, drinkable beer.
Right. I like it.
All right. So, Dave?
I mean, it comes through in an enormous can. My God.
I don't know what the size. How many ounces is this? I poured two full beers for
32 ounces.
32 ounces. Okay.
That's a big boy.
That's a big beer.
I mean, we have two pint glasses, and there's still some left. There's still some in the bottom. Make sure we don't throw this away. I want to take a picture to put on the Instagram.
We'll make sure we don't do that. All right, dude. I've got a bunch of like personal stories to talk about. We never even got into North Korea. Do we?
You want to get on the couch?
No, I don't.
You get in the couch. I'll get on the chair. I'll get my notepad. We'll work through your issues.
It's not necessarily working through my issues, but thank you for going there.
We need to work through your issues.
I've got issues. All right. So speaking of issues, I got to lose some weight. People are watching the shit on videos. I need to lose some weight. I'm starting a new diet plan.
Isogenics. They can see my face.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck. So I'm starting. A friend of mine is a big proponent of a program called Isogenics. She's been recommending it to me for a long time. I finally caved in and said, I've been living in a hotel. I've been eating badly. I've been drinking too much. I'm going to give this a try. And you know what? If we want to, I'll do either a video or something and just give a weekly update about two things. One, how well I am sticking to the plan, because I can't blame them if I don't stick to their plan, and then B, what the results are. So,
well, this is what I'll say about this.
You're about to go life coach on me, aren't you?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Just a couple things. One, of course, a girl comes to you with some thing and you run with it.
After being pushed for a year, but okay.
And okay, that's fine. But what I will say is good for you.
Okay.
Whatever. This is, you know, it's funny. This came up on social media. Someone left our gym because they felt that people were making fun of them or whatever, and there was some sort of drama. And I felt bad. Because one of the things I make sure that I do, and you, if you follow us on Instagram, you probably can get to me and my personal Instagram and see my workouts and things like that for powerlifting, conditioning, and things like that. But one of the things I do is that knowing that our gym can be intimidating. You got big, strong guys. Some of our guys are a little bit sketchy, and they got tattoos, and they're sweaty, and they're blue-collar guys, and they're rough around the edges, and some of them got felonies or whatever. The music is loud. It flips back and forth between rock and rap, like heavy death metal rock and hardcore, you know, just the
DMX.
Most, yeah. Yep.
That's hardcore. I love DMX.
Yeah. I know you do. But I mean, it just, you know, all the, it's just all offensive music, heavy weights, chains, stones, rusty dumbbells, rusty plates, all that shit. And people getting after it. So it can be an intimidating place if you've come in and you're not used to that sort of atmosphere. And someone right. left our gym. And I was disappointed because the one thing I do is that I go and I make sure I talk to people that I don't know, that I haven't seen before. And I try to make them feel as comfortable as possible and try to bring them as into our family as possible, because we do have people that are rough around the edges and they look rough and they sound rough, but they're actually good guys and they're good girls and good people in general. You just got to get to know them and you just got to figure out how to work your way into the circle. So I was disappointed that we lost someone. How that relates to you is
I have no idea what just happened there.
What was that?
It's part of your headset. Yeah, you're fine. Keep going.
Okay.
That was weird. If you're watching that on video, I'm sure it was entertaining. I was watching it going, what the fuck? But anyway, okay. I see what happened. You lost this piece.
Okay. I mean, I see it on the floor. All right. So I see what it was, but it just, okay. Who's here? So all that to say,
you lost someone from your
community. We did lose, and it sucks. But my role in all this, like, I'm a big burly guy, and I've got the numbers and all that other shit.
Yep.
But you know, if you need help, if you've got a question, and listen, I know you know everything, and you got all the secrets and all the whatever. But at some point in time, maybe you forgot something, or you're trying to figure something out in terms of you know, I've been there.
I think you're the kind of guy who will happily give advice, and I think people have come to you. I know people have come to you for advice. You're also not the kind of guy who will thrust advice at people unwarranted. I mean, we've talked about you and your gym. I know you're a very proud member of that gym. I mean, you've gone into competitions with your gym mates, and you've done some shout outs. I mean,
on my singlet that I have to wear when I compete, like, my gym is literally plastered across the front of it. Now, that's not by my design.
Right.
I asked the owner, I said, hey, can you put the logo on one of the, like, lower part of one of the legs? He's like, yeah, sure. And I get it back and it's like, OSI gym, the number 216, whatever our phone number is, you know, with the logo and everything. It's all right on my chest and on my stomach. And if you go to my, I'll post something on our actual Instagram. Like, it's TJ, the owner of the gym. I love him. He's a great guy. But I literally just wanted the logo on the bottom right leg of my singlet, and he splattered it over across the front. But I am a proud member.
That's what you get for competing at a high level.
Yeah, but I am a proud member, and I do love what I do. But I guess my whole thing, what I'm saying is that what you're going through a process. Very basic, real quick, is you have to eat like a sane person. And what I mean is breakfast, lunch, and dinner, a couple snacks in between.
Yep.
Plenty of vegetables, lean proteins.
Yeah.
You know, clean carbohydrates.
And that's what their thing is. That's what their thing is.
Right. And then the rest of it, I mean, and then the snacks are going to be whatever that particular group is selling.
Yeah,
which is fine. And if you're, I mean, okay, fine, whatever. I mean, that's fine. Use it, do it, whatever. Maybe it works. But the thing is, if you do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, a couple clean snacks in between, and you monitor your proteins and your carbohydrates and all that other shit, then it will work. And will it be because of the supplements? Yes, no, maybe. But, like, that's just, I don't take a lot of supplements. I don't.
You know, and this is not all about supplements.
No, it's not. I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, I've lost, since Thanksgiving, I've lost 28 pounds. You know, a lot of that has to do with that I'm not traveling anymore. And I know that's a struggle that you're going through right now. But
part of the reason I did it was, all right, I'm traveling.
Right.
I'm
not you're taking the initiative, and you're just like, if I continue down this path, then where's it going to end?
It's not going well. And again, seeing myself on our YouTube videos is like, all right, man, you got to do something different because this ain't working.
So we'll see. I mean, one of the biggest keys are just in you understand it, proteins, clean, carbohydrates, clean, fats, clean, drink plenty of water. Eat as much fruit and vegetables as you need to. you know, however they regiment out your supplements, take them and then move your body.
All right. Well, we will, the gauntlet has been cast, as they say. I'll give, like I said, weekly updates, whether it's on this show or just on a video. And again, I will.
So the only thing that I want you to do.
All right.
Is next show, you need goals. You need definitive, ascertainable goals. Goals. Whether it's in 8 weeks, I want 15 pounds or I want a certain.
All right. I'll tell you what. My goal will be based on. So I bought a 30-day package. So I will come up with a 30-day goal by next show.
Okay. Just make sure it's realistic. It's
realistic. Sure. I understand. I'm not gonna.
30 days.
I'm not gonna expect to be. I'm not gonna expect to be back in the ring, challenging. You know, Triple G to Triple G's opponent is me. I'm not expecting that.
Or Joe Rogan.
Or stop it, fucker. All right. So we talked about some deep shit last show. A lot of deep shit. It was. I mean,
we did talk about some stuff
and some other stuff. Let's talk about some shit stories. So there were two really fucking wacky things that ended up in social media that I am...
They just ended up in media, okay? So So the one is from Canada. You got a woman.
Oh, Canada. Ooh,
you're a hockey guy.
I am a hockey guy.
So this woman in Canada at Tim Hortons...
By the way, finding a Tim Hortons in Canada is like finding... Your foot. They're everywhere.
I like a Tim Hortons.
Oh, they're great. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know who Tim Hortons is, by the way?
I don't. All I know is that they're everywhere in Columbus. Down there for the Arnold and everything else, like they
were bought by Wendy's, but Tim Horton was a hockey player who played for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay, that makes
sense. And he played for Toronto and then Buffalo. He actually died driving from Buffalo to Toronto after a hockey game.
Was he trying to get to a Wendy's? Or?
No, he was... No, you sick fuck. Know, that was not
that's
good.
In bad
that's
taste.
The kind of joke that you would call me out for. But okay, anyway.
No.
History of Tim Horton, we can do... Yes, you would. Anyway. Woman in Tim Hortons. You want this. I know you
I
want
do,
this.
I do, because... All right. So there's so many things about this story. Well, there's a couple things, right? So this woman goes into Tim Hortons, and chances are you probably already heard the story or read the story or whatever. Woman goes into Tim Hortons... And wants to use the bathroom, they say, no, you can't use the bathroom. Now, Tim Hortons is not Starbucks. They don't have a policy where they say you can't use the bathroom unless you buy something. That is not Tim Hortons. But they said, no, you can't use the bathroom because of your past behavior. We know that you're fucking crazy. So you do not get to go to the bathroom, you crazy bitch. Stay right here or get the fuck out, right? Like, you need to buy something or you need to leave. And she's just like, oh, do I really?
And she was option C.
They said, yes, really. And she said, well, I tell you what I'm gonna do, right? She drops trowel, turns around, takes a shit in the middle of the floor, then goes to the table, grabs some napkins, wipes her ass, grabs more napkins, picks her shit up, throws it at an employee, right? And then there's it to the employees, God bless them. They're like, all right, listen, we weren't going to call the police when you came in here demanding to use the bathroom, even though we knew that you were crazy. We were not going to call the police when you just refused to leave when we said no. We're not going to call the police when you took your pants down. We're not going to call the police when you took a shit on the floor. We are not going to call the police when you wiped your ass with our napkins. We are also not going to call the police. Oh, wait, actually, you just threw your shit at one of our employees. Now we are going to call the police, right? So they're the exact opposite of Starbucks in Philly, right? So we need something in between Starbucks in Philly and Tim Hortons in Canada.
Fair. Now, so she shits on the floor, throws her shit, wipes her ass, and throws shit paper.
Yes.
This is so fucked up. I'm not going to try to be serious or responsible.
What is there to be serious about?
Well, I mean, she clearly had issues, whether they were dietary or mental or both. She clearly had issues.
Yes.
And I mean, who knows? Who knows?
To some people we know, but no.
Who knows what the backstory is? But yes. So we had the shit thrower in Canada at Tim Hortons.
So
and then we have another shit story.
So You're a Sopranos fan.
I am.
I'm a Sopranos
fan. I love the Sopranos.
You know, the Sopranos talked about Youngstown.
I was going to say, do you remember that? Because Paulie ends up in jail.
Do I remember that?
Paulie ends up in jail. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. It was like a fucking holiday in Youngstown.
We got Sopranos mentioned.
Right, like fucking.
Well, that shows
like,
young. I mean,
you got black people and Italians fucking high fiving, Puerto Ricans and Greek people high fiving at each other because Youngstown was mentioned in the fucking Sopranos. It was a big deal.
Paulie was in jail there, right?
He was. And they, you know, there were a couple other instances where they mentioned their friends in Youngstown, right? Yeah. The whole big deal.
Youngstown is a notorious mob town. I mean, let's face it.
It was. Well, it was. It's the halfway point.
Yeah. From Chicago to New York.
Chicago to New York. It's the halfway point.
It was also a steel town with a lot of ethnic background.
But you had a lot of people who, you had a lot of your organized crime, a lot of your mobsters. There were a number of meetings that were held in Youngstown because it was like, all right, if we come to New York or if we come to Chicago, we can't trust what's going to happen there. Where are we going to meet? Halfway in the middle. What's the most favorable place? It's Youngstown. And then people were just like, hey,
you guys go.
I'm going to hang out for a little bit.
Buffalo, which is also similar distance-wise, ended up kind of being their organized crime families kind of pushed back a bit and just sort of, you know, the New York Chicago mob just didn't want to deal with it. It said, fuck it, we'll go to Youngstown. So, all right, anyway, go ahead.
Buffalo. Fucking Bogart in on.
I am trying Youngstown's. To get my Buffalo.
Nobody gives a fuck about Buffalo.
No one gives a fuck about Youngstown.
They don't.
You're right. And we're both right. God.
I wish somebody did. Jesus, somebody give us a bone.
Anyway, so shit story number two. The number two being the ironic choice of words.
So the number two shit story of the day. Has nothing to do with Sopranos, but it's happened in New Jersey. And what we had is this person who was chronically shitting on the track of this one particular school every day. Every day, like clockwork, this dude would like shit on this track, this guy or a girl.
Well, so yeah, eventually. The evidence was there.
Right, the evidence. Like, so eventually, like the resource officer, like. If you listen to our previous show,
they have diverse duties. I said duty.
The resource officer and a few other people, they set up surveillance and they finally caught the person who was shitting on the track.
Now, let me guess. It must have been a disgruntled former student.
It was not.
Oh, it must have been someone from a rival high school.
It was not.
Oh, who was it, Steve?
Well,
I do know.
It wasn't a homeless person.
It was not a homeless person.
It wasn't angry like white dad from rival school whose son got out. Nope. It was the superintendent. Like the superintendent.
I knew. I was.
Jim. It was the superintendent of the school. Now, I haven't been able to figure out like what his reasoning was.
Yeah, you know what? Doesn't matter.
I guess. I kind of need to know at this point. All
right, do you know who Najee Davenport is? He was a stealer. Right? So Najee Davenport got arrested for taking a shit in a laundry basket in his female student's dorm room years ago. He was a running back for the University of Miami, and he literally was in this girl's dorm room, took a shit in her laundry basket. And when that happened, I was listening to a radio show, and they said, well, why did he do it? And someone said, who cares why he did it? I don't care. Right. If you walk into a track and multiple times.
Every day, like clockwork.
So planned it out. Look.
Do you know how, like, do you realize how important it was to him to at the same time every
no,
day?
No, I do not.
Clearly you don't because for the, at oh, the same time.
You do?
Every day at the same time, he said, you know what? Like his wife, shit on honey, track, honey, stay in bed a little bit longer. Hey, honey, I'll do this, I'll do that. No. I have obligations, right? I have responsibilities. What do you have to do? There are things that I need to get rid of. There are things that I need to let go.
There's things I need to leave behind.
I need to make moves.
It's fun to do this because after the last show being so intense,
right? But
dude was shitting on the track day after day. And all right, so first of all, in today's world,
the fact that they had to set up a sting They had to set up a sting to catch the guy, the person that was shitting on the track. Which,
look,
how about the guy who every day, like,
had to watch the film?
No, not even watch the film. The guy had to clean it up. Like,
all right. I worked at a plant where someone shit under a stairwell. We named this person the Stairwell Stool Bomber, and we wanted to bring this monster to justice. And it only happened once. So, all right, I can't believe I'm about to tell the story. I'm telling the Stairwell Stool Bomber story. I was at a plant. I will not name the state or whatever or company.
You got to at least name the state.
It was in Ohio.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. And literally, hold on.
Unnamed the state.
Me and four friends enter a stairwell, and one guy was known for ripping farts in enclosed spaces.
Stinky Pete.
This guy's from Youngstown. Coming back at you. And so we walk in the stairwell, and it stinks. And I punched him in the shoulder. I was like, Tom, you disgusting motherfucker. And I punched him, which I shouldn't have done. Probably get fired for today. As we get to the bottom of the stairs, it was so nasty that I almost threw up. We walk out, and there's a maintenance guy walking down the hall, shoulders slumped. And Vince yells, "Hey, did you shit back there?" And he went, "Look under the stairs." We walked, and there was an amount of shit. Like, you know, it's part of the stairwell that is like
right,
concealed where you end.
Right, if you get down there, then you can do whatever you need.
If you turn right, you're going to nowhere, so right, why would you do it?
Right.
There was a massive amount of shit under the stairwell. I can't believe I'm telling this story on air.
Like, and in that part of the stairwell,
I almost threw up. It was so disgusting, and the quantity was
so
massive.
Where you work, someone took a shit there.
Yeah,
my experience with that's where I got my dick sucked. So
okay, you win,
right? I win.
I watched a massive amount of you lose, sir. All right, we got to move on from. I can't believe we talked about this. Yeah, the stairwell stool bomber was never brought to justice.
But the superintendent was brought to justice.
Good. And fuck that guy.
Yes, fuck him.
I want to know where he was in 1998. If he was in Columbus, Ohio, there, and now we got a city and a state.
Him and or his brother.
Yes. Wow. That was weird fast.
So what's funny about this, though, is someone at the gym approached me. And the reason why I put both these stories together, because the New Jersey track story is older. And she came to me and she's like, "Hey, I got a question." I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "So you saw this?"
This has gotten such a change of pace from our previous conversation.
Yeah, yeah. But she's like, "You saw the story about the woman who shit at Tim Hortons?" I was like, "Yes, I did." And she's like, "Did you see the story about the guy who shit on the track in New Jersey?" And I was like, "Yes, I did." And she's like, "So, is it legal to shit in public?" I'm like, "Wait, what?" She's like, is it okay? Like, can I just, if I wanted to defecate in public, can I?" I said, "No, it is
just like, I mean, if public urination is a crime,
right?
Defecation better be.
Whatever jurisdiction you're in, people, this is free legal advice. Please take it as legal advice. I'm not even going to throw a disclaimer out there. Wherever you go." Whatever city you're in, whatever county, whatever state, whatever village, anywhere you go, just assume that there's a law or an ordinance that says public pissing or public urination or public defecation will be met with a fine and or jail time, okay? So wherever you go, you can't pee or shit wherever you feel like it, right? If it's a place that's not designed for it, meaning it's not a port-a-john or it's not an actual bathroom or a place that they have flagged off with signs that say, "We don't have port-a-johns, but you can piss and shit here," right? If you don't see that, then you can't do it.
Yeah, fair. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Is that all right?
I do not see any legal battle there.
Whiskey Congress, public service announcement.
Don't shit in public.
Free legal advice. You didn't have to pay me for that one. I will not be sending anyone a bill. Right?
Fair.
Don't shit in public, no matter how mad you get. Please,
especially multiple times and when you're a don't do it multiple of a school district.
Don't do it multiple times and don't do
but
it.
But you know what?
In a gonna, chain restaurant,
if you're gonna do it in a chain restaurant, let that shit fly. Literally, let it fly.
She did.
She did exactly. Oh, don't half-ass it. I saw the video. I was like, literally, I like the wipe throw the shit paper part the best.
I could not. I'm not sure.
And I was not there for it, thankfully.
I just don't know what I would have done. I don't know.
She was in the Vancouver area, right?
Whatever.
They're crazy.
Yeah. I just don't know what I would have done.
I know exactly what you'd have done. You'd have ducked. Just like everybody else.
If I'm not in the line, if I'm not in the line of fire, would I have laughed? Would I have tried to stop her? I don't know. Like,
you know what?
Hey,
hopefully we never.
Can you imagine if me and you were doing show prep, right? At PJ McIntyre,
somebody walks in.
Some pissed off Irish dude walks in and takes your shit on the bar. And starts firing it?
I could actually imagine that happening.
I mean, where we live, I'm surprised it hasn't happened today.
Yeah, fair.
I say right, we try right, to instigate right. it tonight.
So, I think that's a very bad idea.
Let's go up to the VIP and try
No. We're naming local bars for those who are not in the Cleveland area. And if we're going to do it, that's the place, by the way. I got to tell you a story. So I've been staying in a hotel in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And there was... we've recorded from the hotel I've been at multiple times. And
Jim, yeah. My only question is, did you untie her?
Eventually, when the time was right.
Good.
All right, that's an unfair question. No, in all seriousness, there was a guy who has been charged with murdering his grandmother.
Wait, what?
There's a guy who...
Whoa. Jim?
Yes?
All right. 0 to 60.
You brought up the tying up a girl in the room, which I did not do yet, unfortunately.
Tying a girl up in the room to murder?
No. No. What? No. No, he didn't murder anyone in the hotel. Let me tell the story. Guy killed his grandmother, fled the town he was in, I think it was Halifax, North Carolina, was arrested at the hotel I've been staying at.
Okay. So just to be clear.
Yes.
Let's retrack what just happened.
All right.
You said guy arrested, murder. I say, hey.
Did you tie a girl up in your room, right?
Did, you know, guy. And
oh,
you
did, said, oh, you thought you were pointing that at me. No.
No. Right? And so.
This is our second communication breakdown in back-to-back shows. No. A guy who went AWOL from the military, got into a fight with his grandmother, murdered his grandmother.
Oh, my God.
Then gets arrested in the hotel I'm staying in with a room full of explosives. Yeah.
Was it close to your room? Do you know?
I've moved around. I do. He was directly above one of my coworkers. He was one floor above one of my coworkers.
Was he close to your room? No, he was directly above one of my coworkers. Motherfucker, was he close to you?
It sounds like
the answer is no.
I've been in so many rooms in that hotel. Right, well, I move around.
You move around.
She stays in the same place. Anyway, that was... And the funny thing is, I go into my work trailer with all my coworkers.
When did this happen?
2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Why are you only telling me now?
Because I only figured it out or only learned about it this week. So I was in my trailer at work. You know, we have a construction trailer. And I had heard the people there talking about it, and it didn't click. And then this last week...
Didn't click.
This murder happened. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. It happened from a town 15 miles away. I didn't know the dude was arrested at my hotel. And then here's the funny thing.
What hotel are you staying at?
I don't want to say it.
Yeah,
no,
you can't now.
No,
you can't,
I can't
say it now.
No, I cannot.
You can't say Renaissance now.
It's not, actually not. It was
you
not.
You can't
it
say
was
the
not,
Residence
was,
Inn
it
now.
It was not the Residence Inn.
You
it
can't
was not.
Say the Motel 6 now.
Stop it. All right. Anyway, here's the funny thing. Fuck. here's the funny thing about this, though. So I'm hearing the story from the coworker who he was above.
At the Hampton Inn now? No.
It's not the Hampton, you fuck. Quit it. you son of a bitch. Anyway, so then she's telling me the story. I'm hearing, I'm like, what the fuck is going on where we're staying? And this kid that has been staying at the hotel, and when I say kid, he's a 24-year-old kid. His name is Tyler. He's an engineer.
Hey, Tyler.
No, seriously, Tyler, he subscribed to our show. So he ends up,
Tyler.
Exactly. And this was funny because he...
Hey, Tyler, do you surf?
He does not surf. He's from Oklahoma. So he shows up, you know, he's walking through. This coworker of mine yells out his name because she was drunk and not handling it well. He comes over, hangs out, 24-year-old kid wearing an Oklahoma State shirt. And I literally said to him, and this will affect the Steelers too, he's wearing an Oklahoma State shirt. And I said, I'm pissed that the Bills didn't draft Mason Rudolph. Should I be? And he said, absolutely you should. That guy is a killer. So sits down, talks to us. No, not the killer. A great quarterback is what Mason Rudolph is.
So have you made a transition from murderer to quarterback?
Or? I have made a transition from murderer to quarterback.
Okay.
Yes.
Folks, we're talking sports now. And,
yeah. Well, anyway, so this kid sits down, talks to us. I break out a bottle of wine. The three of us are in the common area in the hotel drinking. Oh, yeah.
Look at
and
you.
And then, anyway.
Daddy Fatsacks.
No. This is kind of actually more towards the normal nature of our show. I meet this kid, and we end up hanging out, talking, and he's like me. He's an engineer, and you know, just trading, you know, on the road stories. My coworker had a few too many beverages, so she was getting a little loud and slurry.
Having
and,
a good time.
Yeah,
whatever. Having a good time.
But anyway, this kid ends up being a really cool kid. We start talking about a bunch of things, and I mentioned the show. He mentions he's a big fan of Ben Shapiro, and I went, oh, I've had a few comments about Mr. Shapiro in my time as a member of Whiskey Congress. And he said, well, do you have a problem with Jordan Peterson? I'm like, no, I think Jordan Peterson's a generally solid intellectual.
So he's a white kid.
White kid from Oklahoma who now lives in Indiana. He finds out
he swings a little conservative.
Yes, he does. And, I didn't know this yet, but yes, he does.
So, all right, not the end of the world.
Right, no. Anyway, cool dude. We're talking, you know, just things about, like, Netflix shows and whatever.
Oh, you guys like the same Netflix shows?
Well, we're not romancing you, fuck. Netflix, stop it. Stop it. Oh, you son of a bitch. Anyway, so then I got into a...
This is what happens when you do an after show
An after
me.
Show with alcohol.
After midnight alcohol.
Fair enough. It is well after midnight. And we're not doing an old school Jim drinks too much and can't speak anymore. So
Jimmy Stroke Face,
as not you like to building. Call it. Yeah. So anyway, I
may get there, though. I've been up since like 3 a.m.
Yeah, all right. So let me kind of think...
So give me where we need to be with this kid.
My buddy Mike, the dentist from Buffalo, that I've talked about multiple times, who I, as a friend and I consider borderline family, I love this guy, but he's a fucking idiot, and he,
I love him,
but he's a fucking idiot. No, I don't hate him. I think he's a fucking idiot. He has really strong opinions based on really shallow understanding of things. And again, he went through dental school, and this is what scares me. This is a great, like, why are we in Trump's America? It's because someone can be smart enough to get through dental school and have such a lack of fundamental understanding of the real world and what they're angry about. And so let me read some text messages exchanged between Mike, the dentist, and I. Let's do this. All right. I'm going to try to clean... I'm not cleaning anything up. Fuck this. So he sends me... Well, there were predecessors to this, but he complained that people were comparing Trump to Hitler. And I'm like, okay, that's dumb. I agree. It happens to all of the last 10 presidents, but okay. And I actually challenged him. I offered him, like, come on the show. Talk to me. You can do it anonymously. I would not put him in the crossfire of you and I. That would not be fair. But I would record it, and then we could discuss, you know, how to air it.
How would it not be fair?
Two against one.
Okay.
Anyway. Fair. So he sends me a... here's what's wrong with the liberal media. And it's a picture of two people... It was Kim Jong-un and the leader of South Korea holding hands and says, why the end of the Korean War is bad news for the United States. And I replied, okay, what's the point of the article? Did you read the article? Who published it? No response. Next day, Jim, do you want to know my problem with the left? I reply, sure. He replies, shit. And sends me just a picture of a book written by Carolyn McClenahan. And the article is, "What is wrong with white people?" Followed by "Racism and Hypocrisy." I replied, "What does the article say?" Then I went shitty. "Do you really get triggered by the word white?" He replies, what if yes, Nugent, he meant Ted Nugent. "What if Ted Nugent said, what is wrong with gay slash black slash Mexican slash Muslim people?"
Okay.
Hold on, let me close two more points and then we can go on this. He then replies, I replied, "What does the fucking article say? Don't be a victim mentality driven snowflake. Man the fuck up." Our final communication. So, yes, sir.
All I was going to say is that reading text messages on a podcast is not always the best entertainment
fair,
for you.
Well,
but
I said fuck a fair bit.
To your point, listen, that's not uncommon. Right? You get
it's
these,
way too fucking common.
Well, but
Just in general, reading. Hold on, all right, good.
Pause.
No, you're Russian. Okay.
So we have two sides that are both overly sensitive. You've got your progressive liberals that are overly sensitive to everything.
True. Right?
Like you got the progressive liberals who, like, you can't call, like, if you walk up and say, "Hey, miss, can you direct me to the..." Like,
how dare you say miss?
How dare you assume my gender, right?
Yes.
You got the progressive Latino population who want to get rid of Latino and Latina and call it Latinx, right? So
I didn't know that, but I
believe it. Yeah. There's a whole fucking movement to say get rid of Latino and Latina and just be Latinx. You know, you got the progressive whole progressive side that saying that, you know, a trans gender, bi, all this other stuff. Like,
Right.
Okay. You know what? Fine. But the problem is, on the flip side, is you got, you know, suburban white kid who feels that he's a victim because he's got to hear stuff that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
Oh, this doesn't...
That's tragic, isn't it?
This doesn't align with everything my dad has said for
the last... Or Rush Limbaugh's been telling me. Or
7 years or the last... You know, whatever. I mean,
his dad and Rush Limbaugh are pretty much one and two in this one. But anyway.
But you got this kid who... This kid or any, you know, transpose him for, you know, someone similar to him. You know, he hears something that doesn't align with what he's heard his whole life, whether it's from his family or from conservative media, or just he's not a political guy, right? Like, maybe he doesn't listen to
in this case, all right, let me separate two people real quick.
Hold on. Just you just got a kid who doesn't listen to any of it, but all of a sudden he's made uncomfortable by the fact that gays and blacks and immigrants and all these people.
And why do we have to make a big deal
out of it? Right. Like, they're making all this yimmer yammer noise. And what about me? Like, who's looking out for me? No one's doing anything for me. And they're getting all this attention and I'm not getting any attention, or people like me aren't getting any attention. So therefore I must be a victim.
Yes.
Right. And then they go on a tangent, right? And then they get sucked into a Ben Shapiro or a Rush Limbaugh or a Stephen K. Bannon or just pick
Alex Jones,
whoever you're.
I can do Alex Jones,
you know,
if you want.
Right wing, I'm a victim person is.
Right.
You know, they get sucked into that and they completely lose themselves. They lose their mind and lose their shit. And then they attack anyone and anything that doesn't speak to something that lifts them up or makes them feel better about themselves, right? So if you have a black person who says, "Hey, that police officer just literally shot my son in the street in cold blood and isn't even being investigated for murder, I'm upset about it, and I think that we need to look at how policing happens in the United States, and they're clearly targeting black people. I mean, because this happens in my neighborhood where we're predominantly black, right? And then all of a sudden he's just like, oh, you said black. I heard, all I hear is black and police, and all I do is support the police, and black people are always complaining about bad stuff happening to black people, and no one gives a damn about all the misgivings that are happening to us white kids who live out in the suburbs, and my dad's not rich, right? Like, that's the go-to, right? Like, the white kid from the suburbs, my dad's not rich. My dad's a manager.
Well,
you know, I mean,
I do want to say one thing about Tyler. I know that name is also,
man,
as white as it gets, but I want to say, good kid.
Fine.
He was really cool. And I know you're not saying that. I just want to separate because Mike, my buddy, I'm calling out. I would love to
have Mike's
him
probably a good kid too.
He is.
Good
he is. Guy. I love him. I've known him since he was two, but he is espousing. What's that?
You guys are the same age, right? Or similar?
No, he's much younger than me.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, he's about... He. Long story short, he and my dad... His dad and my dad worked together. My dad was substantially older.
Oh, okay.
I mean, when Mike was a toddler, I was a preteen and was around the family. And again, I love the guy. I went to his wedding. I mean, his bachelor party was one of three strip clubs I've ever been to. And if we're going to have a Whiskey Congress strip club show, that'll be my third or fourth in my life. We can talk about that.
If we're going to have a Whiskey Congress strip club show, you're going to get to your sixth, seventh, and eighth.
But anyway,
if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right.
Let me try to be, try to bring it together. Cause I know I've been rambling a bit. I hear Mike, who I know his politics. I know he came from a very racist background, who grew up in an extraordinarily white neighborhood and just never saw anyone different than him. All right, lecture done. I meet this kid, Tyler. Good kid. I bring up the subject, and he's flat out just annoyed with the subject. And my initial reaction was pretty negative. But then I tried to put myself in his shoes. He's 24 years old. He has not seen any... In his mind, racism is a past event. Right. And so when he hears... And he's from Oklahoma. He lives in...
Right, and I get all that.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
I'm trying to put myself in his perspective and saying, what does it take to get this kid to see... I hate calling him a kid, but he's 24. Fuck. He's literally almost half my age.
Yeah, but he's still a kid.
But he is. And
in terms of experience, yeah. I mean, a majority of his life has been house sheltered.
And he's smart. And he's an engineer, and he's busting his ass. He's on the road, and he's asking me advice. I don't give him credit for asking me advice, but, you know, he's like, look, you've lived on this traveling lifestyle in your life. What do you think about this? And I respect it. I like this kid. And what was really funny, Steve, was... I bring up this issue and I bring up my annoyance with my buddy Mike being stupid. And he said that he feels the same way. And we bantered a bit and it was getting a little tense. And then all of a sudden, I change gears and start talking about Netflix shows and movies worth watching. And the gear switches again. And then a black guy who works at the hotel comes through and he like hugs the guy. So I don't think this guy is a racist. I'm confident he's not a racist. He's just fallen into that trap of I'm white and now I'm the target. And you're fucking not. White people are not. But yet that mentality is so fucking prevalent. And that's how we have the situation we have now.
Well, all right. I guess the other side of it is, yeah, you're the target. You are the target. Doesn't it suck? It does suck, right? Like, it's really annoying.
Boy, if you had lived with it your whole life,
wouldn't
it be
obnoxious, right? So, here's the thing, though. You're the target because, and by target, it means you hear stuff that you don't like. It doesn't impact your job. It doesn't prevent you from being able to buy a home. It doesn't put you in jail. You don't lose your children. You don't lose your parents. You're not separated from your family. You're not sent away anywhere, whether overseas or local or a prison or anything like that. You just, you kind of, you don't feel nice about stuff anymore. That's the worst it is for you. But there are multiple people who lost their lives, who lost their freedom, who lost their family, who lost everything because they were the victims, they were the targets. So here's the deal. It did flip, and you're the target. But what's coming at you isn't nearly as bad as what has come at everyone else. And I mean everyone else who's come in this country who hasn't been from a Western European country, right? Whether they were black or Asian or Mexican or whatever, even the Irish, right? I mean, we'll give them their due. So here's the deal. Yeah, it sucks. Now you know it sucks. So you need to suck it the fuck up and figure out a way to make it so that no one has to feel that anymore, right? Like, stop worrying about just you, and let's all be human, and let's all do our job as civilians and members of society and figure out, like, all right, how can, all right, this really sucked for me. It was way worse for them. How do we get this to not happen for anybody anymore? That's got to be the move. And if you can't see past that, then you're not mature enough to handle it, or you don't have the capacity to handle it, or you know what? You just kind of suck, and you're not the one. So I tried to help you. I tried to enlighten you, and you're not willing to see it, and you suck, and you have to live with that. Continue to be bitter. Go watch Alex Jones be mad and weird about stuff. You know?
That's a great way to close.
Are we closing?
We can or we cannot. That's a great.
How long are we going?
We're at 47 minutes now. Is episode 2? That's great. So so we went from people shitting on tracks and throwing poo around Tim Hortons to an actual serious topic.
Hey, but no. But on a serious note.
All right. Now, see, I think you fucking crushed that. I'm. That's why I didn't even try to.
I appreciate that, but Jim.
Oh no.
If you see someone
shitting in a Tim Hortons,
taking their pants down. And shitting in a public forum. First step, protect yourself.
Duck.
Protect your neck. Second step, offer them whatever you have to wipe their ass.
No. Third step. No. Yes. Over my shirt.
Yeah. You grab your shirt, but right. I mean, you know, if you got napkins or paper towels or what have you.
I'm sorry, but if you shit in the public place, your ass wipe choices are on you. Call me. All right.
I think we're trying
to go back full circle now. We went from.
I'm just saying we should offer solutions.
Solutions. Okay.
We're here to solve problems.
Right. Yes, we are. Seriously, though, I think the way you summarized the actual serious part of this conversation was really good. And now we're back to people throwing shit napkins in Vermont and Vancouver.
It's just so hard to not get.
It's hard not to go back. You're giddy about that. I mean, you want to talk Reuben Foster or you want to just call it a night?
I do want to talk Reuben Foster, and this is why.
All right.
So Reuben Foster is a linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. Last year, his girlfriend or fiance, I think girlfriend, accused him of domestic violence.
All right.
The 49ers immediately suspended him. Media came out and blasted him. Hashtag Me Too. Hashtag Time's Up. You know, there were calls for him to, like, why are you even suspending him? Just kick him off the team. And, you know, the NFL takes an exorbitantly long time with these sort of things. Like, typically, if it happens at the end of the season, they will roll it into, like, the following year. And then the new league year starts and then the draft. Right. And then they'll do it before training camp, but after OTA, this whole thing. And so in all that, Reuben Foster's girlfriend had accused him of domestic violence. He was arrested. He went to jail. Trial sets in.
All right.
Girlfriend's put on the stand.
Okay.
She completely falls on everything. Says,
what do you mean?
Let me lay it out here for you.
Lay it out.
Says she only claimed that he hit her because she wanted to make money off of him. Claimed she said
on
this
on the stand.
On the stand, under oath, to the prosecutor. Right? This is not to the defense attorney. This is not on cross-examination. This is to the prosecutor, right, who at some point in time, I'm sure, is trying to, like, he did, he's like, he probably shit himself trying to get,
Nice try, you fuck. He wanted to get whiskey to shoot on my nose there, and he damn near succeeded.
Close.
If I had shit myself, I would throw it at you.
Which the prosecutor probably shit himself trying to get her classified as a hostile witness. But she basically says she had been acting a little crazy. He was uncomfortable with it. And the day it happened, he said, "Hey, you know what? We're done." They broke up. He broke up with her. And she lost her shit, completely lost her.
This is what happens when we start with the way we start. All right, go, yes.
This is what happens
when we start. She lost her mind.
She lost her mind and completely, she had a meltdown.
Yeah.
And called 911. Right. She ran out of the house. So he broke up with her. She has this meltdown, runs out of the house, sees some random guy on the street, says, "I need to call 911.
All right.
That guy says, okay, gives her the phone. She calls 911 and says, "Reuben Foster, linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. I'm his girlfriend. He beat me. He hurt me, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada." Police come. They arrest him, take him to jail. She's got bruises and scars and everything else, but she was in a fight a night or two before at some club with another girl. That's where the scars were
boy.
From.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But no one looked into it.
Right,
now,
right,
mind
right.
you, mind you, she even told police about this, but they didn't look into it. And apparently, whatever nightclub it is, it's fairly reputable, and they keep footage of this for an extended period. They keep all their footage for an extended period of time. So there's footage of the fight between Reuben Foster's ex-girlfriend, who's accusing him of domestic violence, and some other girl that happened at least a night or two before the fight. Now, she calls the police and says, "He beat me." So they're like, "All right, well, we're coming." They come, they arrest him, they take her to the hospital.
They see the bruises.
They see the bruises, they see the scars, and they say, "Well, it doesn't look like a domestic violence thing. This looks like a fucking fist fight." And what the hospital says is that they're not the bruises and scars and the things that she has aren't conducive to it doesn't match what she's saying.
Not consistent with, okay.
It's not consistent with what she's saying happened in terms of what he did to her, but okay. It is consistent with what would happen in a like just a fight with someone of equal status.
Okay.
Right, like it's not.
It's not a Greg Hardy situation where.
Right, I mean, like you've got scratches and ripped out hair extensions. That's something that would happen when two women fight. Had you fought an NFL linebacker, you'd have a broken face or a broken pelvis.
Right,
and the hospital's just like, based off of our experience, based off of what we know. You know, man fights woman. The damage is a lot worse than what you're saying, and we've seen plenty of woman-on-woman fights, and this looks like a woman-on-woman fight, right? That information was given to the prosecutor. The prosecutor kind of like, the detective said, "Okay, great, thank you," and ignored
it. That doesn't fit our narrative, so.
Doesn't, exactly. Back to the stand, right? Yesterday.
Okay.
They asked her, "Did he hit you?" She says, "No, he never touched me. He broke up with me. When he broke up with me, I lost my mind. I lost it. All I wanted to do at that point in time was hurt him. I wanted him to go under. I wanted to take him for everything he was worth." So she ran out of the house. She saw the guy, flagged him down. He let her use her phone. She collected herself. And the guy who gave her the phone said, she was saying he did XYZ, and I'm looking at her like, none of that happened to you. There's no way. Because she was saying he hit her in the face and punched her in the throat and blah, blah, blah. And the guy who had lended her the phone is looking at her and just like, "You, there's no possible way you got punched in the face by an NFL linebacker because your...
Your face is intact."
Right, I mean, like your look, makeup I've is perfect.
I've been punched in the face. It sucks, but I've been punched in the face by far less than an NFL linebacker. And you could tell when I was and when I wasn't.
Right. So you have the fact that she admits that, you know, she wanted to hurt him. And yeah. Then she admits that after all this, after he was arrested, she broke back into his house, stole two of his Rolexes, stole his...
Well, that's his fault for having two Rolexes.
Of course. Stole his bank account and routing number and stole anywhere from $8,000 to $21,000 out of his account.
Those are multiple felonies, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Stole $8,000 to $21,000 out of his account. She's not sure which, but somewhere in between there. And she there was one other aspect of it, which I can't remember, which was completely fucked up. Oh, I remember what it was.
Okay.
In 2011, she was arrested for falsely accusing of someone of domestic violence.
Wow.
Now, Reuben Foster, once they went into his home, they found two guns there.
Okay.
He was, and they hit him with charges for
gun possession.
Gun possession illegal, but the guns were
California?
It was California, but the guns were bought legally in his home state of Alabama.
Okay. There's a difference.
Well, they were bought legally, and I believe they met all the necessary qualifications that you need to have to be in California.
Okay.
So, but the police never looked into it. When they saw the guns, they said, "Oh, you've got two guns, and you're black and domestic violence, so they must be illegal." So they hit him with two illegal gun possession charges, and like they hit him with possession and two, you know, style type of weapons, whatever.
In terms of that, California's laws are brutal.
They're ridiculous
and silly. Right.
They're some of the most restrictive in the union.
Like the third or fourth worst, yeah.
And but come to find out, is all the detectives had to do was their job and do a little bit of digging, and they should have been able to remove those charges, but they never did. And the detectives, during the course of the trial, were, you know, the prosecutor and the defense attorney called them on it. Like, all you had to do was look and see that these weapons were legally purchased and they met these. Why didn't you remove the charges? And the detective was just like, I don't know.
I know that California, even bringing anything over their border, they have funky laws, because I know people who broke those laws and knew they were breaking
them. Well, the point is that he didn't break any laws.
Okay.
The police officer thought he did.
Okay.
Charged them with it, never looked into it any further than you're an athlete, you're being accused of domestic violence. You're a big, strong black guy. You're black. And you've got guns, so you have to have them illegally. Never looked into whether how he obtained them, anything like that. Just assumed, and we come to find out that he obtained them legally, and they were legal within the state of California. But yet he left the charges there, and that in and of itself is a dereliction of duty on the police officer's part and a crime, right? Like, it's not like, but it's not a crime on Reuben Foster's part. It's crime on the police officer.
So where do things stand right now?
It's a mess.
Okay.
I mean, we're mid trial. This all happened.
Oh shit!
This is all going on.
Sorry, you said that. This all happened yesterday. I didn't hear. This is where me being a traveling guy.
Because you were on a plane. Like, yeah. A lot of this is unfolding, and this is all coming out yesterday. Like, and back to the ex girlfriend. She spilled the beans on everything. She talked about how she
admitted
was,
you.
stealing money from him, trying to extort him. She told, like, she showed text messages that she had sent him. She said that she was going to kill herself after the, like, he had been arrested and told, you can't have contact with her. She texted him, I'm going to kill myself if you don't respond to me. And, oh, by the way, I know that if you respond to me that you'll go to jail. And blah, like, so she pulled her phone out and showed it to the prosecutor. Like, yeah, I text him this at this point in time. She broke down and said, yeah, I need help. I, after all this, I'm going to go to rehab. Right,
this is way worse than what happened to Zeke Elliott.
Oh, this is Zeke Elliott times 1,000.
And
but here's the key.
Good.
She hasn't been charged with a crime.
Is she black or white?
She's black.
Okay. Not that it matters. I'm just curious. But
why'd you ask that?
I was just curious. Like, was she some, I don't know. I was curious. And
some blonde?
If, well, if she was a hot blonde, you know, I'm susceptible to it.
If she was a hot blonde, you just like, all right, let her go.
She's hot blonde.
Man. Let her go.
That's how it goes. No, seriously, though.
But in all seriousness, here's the thing. This is my connection.
I was being a dick when I asked that question.
I know. But what I will say is she should be charged at the very minimum with obstruction of justice, found guilty.
Perjury.
Right. Well,
maybe not perjury.
Maybe not perjury.
She was honest under oath.
But
she was
at some point in time, deposition. She should be charged with obstruction of justice, and she should have to serve some sort of jail time, and there should be a penalty for what she did.
For making shit up to try to hurt someone because you're mad.
Here's the problem. Aside from their interaction, Reuben Foster and this girl, part of this is... I blame part of this on Reuben Foster because
don't fuck a crazy chick is always right. The
like
advice.
I mean, like you fucked a like you hooked up with an IG model. You hooked up with an Instagram model.
I didn't know that was her.
Right. Like, I mean, like she's famous and popular because she's got 100,000 followers on Instagram. Like, listen, there's a reason she does. Right. Everyone knows. Like, it just come on, stop. Like, you get what you pay for. But what I will say is when women do things like this, right? When she, with her type of pathology, and it gets out like it has in the media, in the NFL world, this is what makes it very difficult for other women to come forward. This is why
when other women, cases
and when those women do come forward, men are just like, she's lying. I don't believe her.
Yeah.
And then they could point to this woman and say, this is specifically why. And if there's any sort of similarity between Reuben Foster and his girl and this girl over here who's telling the truth, if there's any sort of similarity.
She's discredited, yeah.
Right. And, well, she shouldn't be.
Or not discredited.
But her
public perception is
challenged. But people will use that similarity to discredit her. And that's not fair. And that's not right.
Agreed.
And it shouldn't even be on the table because there's no reason that woman should have any sort of credibility because as soon as we found out that she was a liar and a thief and a scammer, right, and a psychopath, and these are all admitted, like, I mean, this is based off of her testimony, then
she, I can't believe she said that on
stand. She said it on the stand. She said it on the stand, and no one even raised an eyebrow like, well, we should charge her with a crime and put her in jail. She said, after all this is done, I'm gonna go to rehab and I'm gonna get some help. And they were all like, yeah, that's a good idea.
How powerful.
Oh, that's a good idea. Good for you. Like, no, put her ass in jail. I don't care how good it looks in a bikini. I don't care how good she can twerk. I don't care how many fucking Instagram followers she has. Put her ass in jail.
When you try to destroy somebody on a lie. Right. There are consequences. Yes, fair.
Right. What she tried to do to him, she tried to ruin his life. She even said, I'm going to bury you. I'm going to ruin you. I'm going after you, your coaches, your GM, your team. If I'm the San Francisco 49ers, I would put her under a jail. I would put her under Alcatraz. That would be my goal.
Okay. I mean, you... Personally, the 49ers cannot do that, but I was
fuck you. Why?
You can try.
Why? I mean, why?
I mean, they can hire private investigators and do their thing.
Exactly.
All right.
I can't hire a private investigator. I can't have influence over a prosecutor.
You can do that. You can do that. I'm just saying they don't have a jurisdiction. I'm pretending to be legal.
Get out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. All right. Anyway, let's wrap this up, man.
Fine.
Unless you have someone who's going
to
go with.
No, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Tired of you.
I'm not tired of you at all. I've enjoyed this very much. We are Whiskey Congress. We are at Whiskey Congress on social media. Jim at Whiskey Congress. Steve at Whiskey Congress. If you want to email us. We went a total change of venue to shit throwing and it got weird. Anyway, dude, I enjoyed it very much. The whiskey was good. Dave from Philly, thank you for
hooking us up with the beer.
Your beer's awesome. Other people want to hook
Jim,
us up with
Jim, call
beer.
Me an Uber.
I will call you. I'll call you a Lyft. I'm a Lyft guy.
Whatever.
Out. Thanks a lot.